Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So how's about those Olympics? Wait, hold on!
Oh, thank you, man.
Film at 11.
Breaking news! Breaking news on Wretched Radio! Forget the Olympics. I mean, after all, that's ancient history according to most moderns because it ended hours ago. So that's like old and stupid. Actually, I found the Olympics rather worldview-y. That's right. Worldview-y. Everything we do is backed by a worldview. Art, music, architecture, and athletics. They are a physical manifestation of somebody's beliefs or thinking. And the Olympics were no exception. I'm going to be doing a video on that for the YouTube machine. I'm sure it's going to get lots of love. Trying to explain why the Olympics look different than they did, say, 100 years ago. I know all of society has changed, but there are components of the Olympics that have changed uniquely, specifically regarding gender distinctions. Have you noticed the great blurring? We talk about those on the YouTube machine because when we watch something, even like a sporting competition, we cannot set our Christian filter on relax. Everything we see speaks. And in this instance, boy, it was screaming secular humanism, deconstructionism, autonomy, me, me, me. In fact, Jimmy, you just finished recording something and sending it over to Emily for production, correct?
Correct.
That means you need to throw your hands up in the air on both sides and then petition for people to applaud you. So go ahead.
Because I did something.
Because you did. Yay, Jimmy.
Keep it going. Come on. Come on.
Oh, that gesture. What in the world? Love me louder. They score a goal, which is why you're there. And then they immediately goad the audience. Give me affirmation. Me. It used to be a team celebration. Now it's an individual affair. It used to be a demonstration of humility to win gracefully. Not anymore. Me. I finished the sermon on Sunday, and I tried that. Funny, it didn't work.
Yeah, I'm sure it
didn't. Yeah, it didn't. It seems like it's only in athletic competitions where you can get away with that. Or maybe the Hillsong concert. One of those venues, it's acceptable. Try it at your job. Finish the audit and then step out of your office with your hands up. Me! Love me! Louder! Why should we applaud you? Because I did my job! But forget the Olympics. We can talk politics as much as anybody, but hopefully in a different kind of way. The new president elect, who is, did she actually get elected to be the, whatever. Oh, you know what? I figured out a way to explain what it is that liberals do that's just the opposite. I think the term that people use these days is gaslighting. They gaslight you. Well, I think the word trans is appropriate. Liberals are trans pro-democracy. Because they say that they're saving democracy, they're pro-democracy, when what they're doing is the exact opposite. So they're trans pro-democracy. Sort of like David French is a trans conservative. He insists he's a conservative, but the evidence speaks a different word. So he's a trans, Russell Moore is a trans conservative. I'm sure they'll be happy with those. Wow, the David French. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. Maybe I can find it on my phone. David French sent out
a tweet explaining why the biggest issue in this campaign is making sure that Donald Trump is defeated because he's so horrible. That's why I, as a conservative, am voting for Kamala Harris. That's what makes him a trans conservative. How can a conservative vote for the most pro-abort, most pro-anti-marriage, anti-gender candidate of all time? And the vice presidential candidate she picked, a Lulu, an absolute, also a trans something. A trans affirmer. We went to his church last. Well, I didn't actually go to his church, although it's a beautiful church. Go Google Pilgrim Lutheran Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's up on St. Clair Avenue. It's the Hill District right off of Summit Avenue, right off of Snelling. And that'll give you a sense of what St. Paul used to be like. I say used to be like because St. Paul ain't what it used to be. At least last time I was there, broke my little St. Paul heart. It used to be, you'll get a feel of it. It's like, oh, that's kind of European. That's the flavor of St. Paul downtown in the Hill District. And that all seems to be like the Olympics. It's getting erased and it's being replaced with progressivism and no care of the city. It's a Lutheran church. That's ELCA. So that means it's not actually Lutheran. It's trans Lutheran. It says it's Lutheran, but it's not. Jimmy, this trans business is working out well for us.
It seems so.
It's a very helpful word for us to use. So the church website I visited, well, apparently I didn't spend enough time there because the Daily Caller dove into their website. Woo! They don't like to call God him at that church. Pilgrim Lutheran Church in 2015 approved guidelines for language and worship. Oh boy. Wherein the congregation asserted that a patriarchal culture gave birth to the writing of Scripture. You mean the book that you esteem as the inspired word of God? Oh, wait. They're trans biblicists. I am.
You're on fire.
I am so pleased with my. Hold on one second. Applaud me. Love me. Give it to me. Give it. Okay, wait a second, Jimmy. But okay, before I continue with this story, here you got to do this.
Slow clap.
Give me the slow, and then pick up the pace so that I can jump over this story. Yes! Pilgrim Lutheran in 2015 came up with guidelines for language and worship, wherein the congregation asserted a patriarchal culture gave birth to the writing of Scripture and the selection of the canon. Let's say you're right. It was men. And what do you want to do? Rewrite history? Throw out your holy book. Never mind, they did that about five decades ago. And to rectify the purported injustice, committed to using gender-neutral language to describe God, members of the church are encouraged to choose non-anthropomorphic language, like hen or baker, to refer to God, and urged not to limit these by following them with male or female pronouns. Oh, I see. So you don't want God to have any gender, if you will, whatsoever. Or is it really just about making sure that God isn't male? Because all things masculine are toxic. The guidelines instruct parishioners to refer to God using titles that signal actions but don't imply gender, like advocate or healer. Okay. We want to take all of these names away from God that show us the expansive nature of his character and how grand his being is, that he is an advocate. You have an advocate, Jesus the righteous. What do we do with that? Just take it out of 1 John. We don't want to use, you know, the language of those original men. Tim Walz's church, Pilgrim Lutheran, also uses a modified version of the Lord's Prayer, beginning with Our Guardian. Our Mother, our Father in heaven. Racial justice is a major focus at Pilgrim Lutheran Church. Predominantly white congregation seeks to atone for their role in systemic racism. Well, if you want to atone, let's do this, Pilgrim Lutheran. Let's really go for this. Don't just use words. Take action. We white citizens and congregants have been complicit in the systemic exclusion of Black, Indigenous, immigrant, and other people of color from full participation in and benefit from the common good. We lament the suffering caused by our racism. We endeavor to live more fully, a gospel commitment to love our neighbors. Look, if they're racist, I'm glad they're repenting. Good on ya. By listening well, changing our hearts, and partnering with our neighbors in building an anti-racist community of justice, where all may thrive. If you want justice, you better give up that beautiful building. You better return that land, which has a high value, by the way. That is the church of the vice presidential candidate for the Democratic Party. This is all we need to know. This is all we need to know, because now we know the man's worldview. Yeah, baby, give it to me. Give it to me. This is, thank you, Wretched Radio. More, please, more. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines, providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby, 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you ever felt like the world's gone a little loopy? Well, we agree, which is why we've assembled the ultimate dream team to tackle it head on. Later this year, 8 big brains and even bigger hearts will come together to bring light to the darkness. First up, we have Pastor Tim Challies, the blog king and co-founder of Cruciform Press. We'll keep you grounded with practical, faith-filled guidance. And if you're feeling a bit spiritually lost, Pastor John Krotz has you covered with more degrees than a thermometer and wisdom that'll set your soul on fire. And for the Gen Z men out there wondering if there's more to life than TikTok, say hello to Dr. Adam Tyson. And if you have marriage and parenting woes, Pastor Brad Bigney's wisdom will help you navigate those tricky waters. It all gets underway later this year, and we'd love it if you could join us in making a difference. Just visit wretched.org/donate to learn more, and let's make our brave new world a little less crazy together. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
So you're not convinced of the importance of training men to rightly divide the word of truth and fill pulpits internationally? Fine. Then we'll let Paul Washer convince you.
It is so important, not just important, it's absolutely essential to have a trained expositor of the scripture in every church. When we read through the book of Acts, we can see that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, advances as the word of God advances.
Would you please consider joining the Master's Academy International in filling empty pulpits with men who can exposit the scriptures and advance the kingdom of God? It's a magnificent ministry with a generational impact. Please learn more about supporting TMAI at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor for the Master's Academy International.
Books of the Bible. Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians to encourage new believers in their faith, reminding them of Christ's imminent return and exhorting them to godly conduct.
When you consider Christ's return, beware of two errors. To live as though his return were not imminent, or to be so concerned with his return that we neglect his work on earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched Radio. I'm your calm host, Todd. Having been informed by the authorities to tone it down, I'll no longer be shouting like an Olympic athlete.
The authorities?
The authority.
Somebody call the cops?
Mrs. Friel.
Oh,
same thing.
You got in trouble.
Why are you yelling so much? Don't you know you need to be in Fargo, North Dakota this week? And so do you. If you would like to drink deeply on church ecclesiology, that was a little bit redundant because that's what ecclesiology is, but the church. The point is the 3535 conference, it's 2.5 days drinking deeply, gleaning from smart dead guys from the 17th century who worked laboriously to figure out what is the authority of the church? How should it be structured? Where does its power begin? Where does it end? How should we structure this thing? What about worship? We're going to learn from dead guys who studied ecclesiology much deeper than we tend to today. It ultimately, from the 17th century, resulted in the 1689 London Baptist Confession, which is, wow. Wow, what a confessional statement. If you can be in Fargo this week, get to the 3535 conference. My understanding, Jimmy, is when these guys are done delivering their presentations, they're not going to do the, give it to me. Come on. Oh. Give it up. Give it up for the preacher who talked about Cotton Mather. Let's continue our breaking news, shall we? Christians for Kamala. Hold on. Who just hit me in the kidneys? That's right. There's something called Christians for Kamala. While that might be good alliteration, that's bad theology. I know that there are people who would say, you can't say that voting for a political party is a sin. I would ask, why not? Really? Why not? Just so we don't overuse World War II as our singular demonstration of bad political leadership. If there were a Genghis Khan party, would you tell somebody, you know, I don't think you should be doing that. Christians for Khan is what it would be called. Instead, you've got Christians for Kamala. She's the most pro-abort. She is the one who would love to see children mutilated. She is the one blurring all gender distinctions. Jimmy, do I remember that she took her tour of Planned Parenthood, the abortion clinic, in St. Paul, if I'm not mistaken? Is that where the first one happened? By the way, the Planned Parenthood footage, do you remember in 2015, if I'm not mistaken? I think I've got that story here. Yep, got it right here. This was back in 2015. Yep, David DeLeiden of the Center for Medical Progress. He went in surreptitiously into Planned Parenthood clinics, and Kamala Harris got him in trouble. Not the people who were talking about mutilating babies and selling their body parts for profit. Oh, no. They're not the ones who are doing something awful. It's David DeLeiden. One of the videos shows the leader of this Planned Parenthood of PPGC, based in Houston. They're describing, she's with another woman, how they take measures to avoid prosecution under the federal partial birth abortion ban by dismembering the fetus while it is partially outside the womb to preserve the internal organs of the fetus for harvesting. Quote, if I'm doing a procedure, this is the actual tape, if I'm doing a procedure and I'm seeing that I'm in fear that it's about to come to the navel, the umbilicus, I might ask for a second set of forceps to hold the body at the cervix and pull off a leg or two. Kamala Harris protected that. There is no other descriptor than evil to describe that conversation. And those who defend it, are you kidding me? Christians for Kamala? In a different video, they describe for DeLeiden one scenario in which minor patient's discomfort required the physician to hurry up and compared it to other days when it's more intact, where it's like maybe only like an arm that's disarticulated. Oh, so if you're young, you're like 4 years old and you get into fights with your siblings and you put one of your brothers into an arm bar, just explain to your upset parents, his arm is just disarticulated. And because then you won't get in any trouble because, well, it sounds so medicinal. This woman described how awkward discussing fetal tissue can be, remarking, quote, I'm like, yeah, I have like a leg for you. I'm like, oh, bleep. If other people were to hear me, they'd be like, you are bleeping evil. Bingo. And yet she thinks they're wrong. What are we hearing in these comments? A seared conscience. Nothing less than a hardened heart that actually believes their own press releases that they're doing a good work by disarticulating body parts of babies. Oh, this is Christians for Kamala. Planned Parenthood has maintained it does not profit commercially from aborted fetal tissue from second or third trimester abortions, but donates fetal tissue for scientific research. Here comes utilitarianism. It is all over the Planned Parenthood worldview. The use of aborted fetal tissue for scientific research that has the potential to help millions of Americans suffering from diabetes, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, muscular dystrophy, leukemia, and other serious medical conditions. We're justified in doing what we do. Here's my question. All right. If you're justified in the disarticulation of just one baby for the sake of the greater good, let's pick your kid. The one that's going to school. Let's pick your kid. Let's take your 18-year-old. After all, it's just one disarticulation for the good of so many. I hope that they would protest. Maybe they wouldn't. We cannot allow underhanded, misleading tactics by anti-abortion extremists to stick. So what they are is they're trans-abortion moderates is what they are. By misleading tactics by anti-abortion extremists to stigmatize life-saving medical research. That is nothing but evil. Christians for Kamala, please. I've got that David French tweet, by the way. It's just staggering how people justify the wickedness that is represented in Kamala Harris and the Minnesota vice presidential candidate. He sent this out in a tweet, needless to say, and rightly so. He's been rather shellacked for it. Got my cheaters on because it's really, okay. I'm a conservative, never Trumper. This is David French. I would absolutely prefer a more moderate VP pick, but I also know that I belong to a microscopic constituency. So maybe he's talking about Vance. That's not the point. So I'll just have to content myself with not being a felon and a sex abuser, not attempting a coup, not sacrificing Ukraine to an authoritarian maniac as the main wins of voting for Harris. 100 years from now, people will talk about the Ukraine war as pivotal. I'm not sure that any other issue is going to reach that conflict in importance. I don't know. How's about millions of babies being murdered in the womb every year on our soil? How's about that, conservative David French? How's about babies? How's about children who aren't protected, whose parents are blocked so that they can be given puberty blockers? I don't know. How's about that? And if you want to get more personal, perhaps, how's about religious liberty? If you think as a moderate Christian, if there even should be such a thing, that this is going to keep you safe from liberal animosity, you're wrong. You're wrong. They will not stop until it is entirely obliterated. That's the goal. Christians for Kamala. Christians for Khan. How's about Christians for, who's another wicked one that we can, Christians for Bonaparte. We go, wait, whoa, what are you talking? And he doesn't even come close to the evil that we are dealing with here. This is nothing but darkness. And I know that there are people who would say that this is going too far. Really? You don't want to save children as they're staggering to the slaughter? We don't. Are we so intimidated by our current culture that tells us to be perpetually politically correct that we can't speak out and say, sorry, Christians for Kamala makes as much sense as go ahead and tell everybody, Jimmy, as birds for deep sea swimming. It's how much that actually makes sense right there. I know. We're not excited about it. I think John Stone Street put it well. Rather than thinking it's a lesser of two evils, see the vote for even the candidates that are still pro-abortion, but less so, not as a lesser of two evils, but a lessening of evils. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Minnesota Governor and newly appointed vice presidential candidate Tim Walz has repealed bipartisan measures requiring reporting on babies born alive after failed abortions. That change effectively removed transparency around one of the most morally troubling issues in our country. Data from the Minnesota Department of Health revealed that between January 21 and December 21, five abortions resulted in live births. Shockingly, in two of those cases, no measures were taken to preserve the lives of those babies. It's also worth noting that this is not a new phenomenon. Similar incidents were reported in 2019. But now, thanks to Governor Walz's efforts, Minnesota will no longer even keep track of those occurrences. It seems like leadership in the North Star State prefer to keep their people in the dark. Perhaps no longer the land of 10,000 lakes, but more like the land of 10,000 secrets instead. In other news, the FDA is facing criticism for approving puberty blockers for gender-confused youth despite acknowledging increased risks of depression and suicide. Their stance appears to be, yes, sure, these drugs might cause severe health issues, but hey, at least insurance will cover them. Not a medical expert, but I'm pretty sure that's not how the Hippocratic Oath works. Meanwhile, across the pond, over 1,000 UK doctors have condemned the British Medical Association's push to lift the ban on puberty blockers for minors. The physicians argue that the BMA is going against principles of evidence-based medicine and ethical practice. Nice to see that there are medical professionals standing up for, you know, the actual medical science. In corporate news, employees at Goldman Sachs reportedly had a meltdown when someone suggested ordering Chick-fil-A for dinner. The debate got so heated that management had to consult HR about whether it was bigoted to order from the chicken chain. That's a real story. Yeah, and apparently in some circles, delicious chicken sandwiches are now controversial. And in political news, a Harris supporter made waves with a unique statement recently. That statement, quote, I'm a trans man, and I'm gay, and I've been pregnant, and I've had an abortion before. And that supporter expressed fears about potentially losing rights under a different administration. You know, it's almost like playing identity politics bingo and trying to hit every square on the card. It's weird. Finally, in a move that would make Big Brother proud, the London Police Commissioner is threatening to extradite and imprison people in other countries for online hate speech. Yeah, because he's got that kind of power, right? Not so much. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prophecy alert, prophecy alert. AI is not going to help us. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, would you fire up your AI machine and ask it to identify the top 10 most evil people in human history. Okay. I'm making a prediction. It's going to tell you, we don't like to provide that information because that's judgmental.
Okay.
And we don't judge people unless, of course, you're Christians. I'll bet they won't list it. I'll bet you. Not that I'm a betting man. I'm just telling you. I'll bet you. Why? Because I've been groping, looking for another word than the H-man with the little mustache guy from World War II that if you use his name, they'll kick you off of social media platforms. Not kidding. It happened to us about 3 years ago. The Facebook booted us for suggesting. No, I didn't suggest. I actually said it. That somebody as wicked as Mustache Man could have his sins forgiven if he'd repent and put his trust in Jesus Christ. That was too much for Facebook. They locked us out for a year. Jimmy, what did the AI machine tell you?
Your prophecy was wrong, Todd.
What did it give you?
It gave me a list of 10.
Then you got a better AI machine than I do because mine scolds me whenever I ask moral questions.
Now, it did say that it's subjective, as the term evil can be interpreted in various ways.
Okay.
But based on historical records, the following individuals are often considered among those.
Okay, so I might be stoned for a false prophecy, but it might be a close call.
Close call.
You know, unlike these guys who make false prophecies all the time these days, and they get Breitlings and Bentleys. Did you see at the the Ken Copeland affair, where they go and all of his followers meet, and he bragged about having 37 Breitling watches. I Googled, they're really expensive. And he showed off his Breitling watch on his wrist. It was diamond encrusted. See this right here? See this right here? It's $37,000 or what? Bragging. This preacher bragging. And then he said Lefevre or some guy who's dead gave him a Bentley. That's a car with a Breitling clock in the Bentley automobile as a seed offering. Yeah, he died. Why? Because Ken Copeland is a deceiver. He's a liar. He doesn't love his followers. He hates them. He hates those people. You don't love somebody and then bilk them for every dollar that they're willing to give up by being a charlatan. All right, Jimmy, give me the top 10.
Okay, top 10. Number one, Mustache Man. Number two, Joseph Stalin.
Okay.
Mao, number three.
Who? Oh, Mao.
Yeah, Mao. Genghis Khan, four. Pol Pot, number five.
Yeah.
Number six, Leopold II of Belgium. Vlad the Impaler, number seven.
You've got to be bad if that's your name. Now, is that nominative determinism? Was he named that at birth and then he became it? Or did he do that and that's what they called him?
Another prophecy.
Just check your facts on that one.
Number eight, Saddam Hussein. Idi Amin.
Idi Amin.
Idi, okay, sorry. And Osama bin Laden, 10.
Yeah, okay. Here you go. Presbyterians for Pol Pot. Every Presbyterian just went, if John Knox were alive, I'd send him your way to box your ears in, Pally. There's no such thing as a Presbyterian for Pol Pot, nor should there be Christians for Kamala. For shame. This is John Stone Street. The article is titled Lesser of Two Evils versus Lessening Evil. I realize there are a lot of Christians who are less than excited about voting for Donald Trump. I understand. He's not a pro-life candidate. Furthermore, he's not a pro-marriage candidate. It's just that he's not as horrific as Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. They're just aggressively anti anything godly. So John Stone Street, in an attempt to perhaps help you not feel so ugh when you have to go to the voting booth this November, he makes two points. One, it is our duty as citizens to be the best citizens of the society we live in and vote. You will be accomplishing something. I don't believe you're participating in what those politicians do. You're simply trying to help human flourishing as best you can, even when it is less than ideal. He writes, even so, not voting in order to keep our hands clean can be a form of pietism. That's interesting. The Pietists, there were different strands of Pietists. Some were very libertine. Others were the Pietists that you think, oh, we were so pietistic that we are just rule keepers. We're incredibly stoic. We wear black clothing all the time and we dare not smile. And John Stone Street is saying, trying to keep your hands clean can be a form of that manifestation of pietism, not Christianity. And so he uses Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is not a consistently reliable source of authority. Even in the face of far worse political realities than ours, rejected pietism as being contrary to Christian responsibility because Christianity is an incarnational faith. It must be lived in the tempest of the living. Here we are. We're salt. We're light. To say that the world is messy is like saying Idi Amin made a good banana bread, something like that. Christians should think of voting as a way of lessening evil. Not only does this approach better fit the political realities of our particular context, it recognizes the inherent limits of politics while maintaining principle. Does that help you to vote? I hope so. Voting to lessen evil acknowledges the moral inadequacies of candidates while still seeking to accomplish good through voting. Voting to lessen evil, not voting for the lesser of two evils. Voting to lessen evil should never be about excusing bad behavior. It should be about our best attempt to enable the best outcomes possible while recognizing that the most important work the church will do won't be political. Does that help you, perhaps, to go and pull the lever? And not be a Christian for Kamala. By the way, a new poll coming out, which is why I suspect we don't hear about this life issue in the Republican Party, the end of life issues. When we talk about being pro-life, we do need to remember there are spectrums here. You're born, that's the beginning of life. You die, that would be the end of life. Wow, that just sounded like Kamala Harris. So when you die, that is the end of living, you see?
Because you died.
Because you died.
And you're no longer living.
I'm really not pleased that I sounded like Kamala Harris. I'll be perfectly honest with you. 71% of Americans believe that medical doctors should be allowed by law to end a patient's life. In other words, it's not a winning political issue. So, it's got to be painless, though. And if the family requests it. And if there's no hope for recovery. It should be reserved for individuals who are terminally ill and experiencing intense pain with no hope of recovery. Well, we know where that slippery slope slides. Go to Europe and you will see, go to Canada and you will see you don't need to be terminally ill anymore to receive assistance from a medical professional to end your own life. It's for virtually any reason. And look out for those people who can't make those decisions for themselves, who we deem to not be living a quality of life that is really human. I'm not talking about necessarily physical illness here. I'm talking about mental capacities that a group of people who are alive and well, evil, but alive and well, have determined, those people that don't process well, whose thinking is of a child's level. They have the right to die. In fact, we have the right to end their life. This is nothing but barbarism. It is bullying from beginning to end. And it is also why you just aren't going to hear end-of-life issues discussed by any politician these days, except in the affirmation checking of the box. It's good that people have that right for human dignity. The post-liberal Catholics find their man. This was an article in The Atlantic talking about J.D. Vance. We mentioned this, well, we spent a little time on it, I think a week or two ago, discovering that J.D. Vance, while he has not said that he's a Roman Catholic integralist, lots of hints that he is. In other words, think Christian nationalism, Catholic style, that the Roman Catholic Church has some say on the ordering and the running of the government. And I thought this one quote was worthwhile because this is how Christian nationalists and Roman integralists need to make their case. rather than writing about theological convictions. What's strange about this unapologetically radical style of politics is how tenuous its ties are to the Catholic Church and even Christianity as a historical community of faith. In other words, they use philosophical musings, they use history, they'll sometimes use some quotes from theologians, but rarely quote the Bible. Why? It's an observation that I've noticed for a long time. You gotta look outside of your Bible to suggest that Roman Catholic integralism or Protestant Christian nationalism is actually in that book. This is Wretched Radio.
Are you feeling lost in a world that tells you you're toxic for just being a man? Well, it's time to cut through all of the noise. Introducing the Gentleman Event, where real masculinity beats biblical wisdom. Dr. John Grotz will arm you with 10 powerful mini-lectures on August 16th and 17th, where you'll learn how to earn genuine respect and admiration, the keys to stepping up and leading well, and God's blueprint for authentic manhood. Because contrary to popular belief, your Y chromosome is not a curse. It's Friday evening, August the 16th, or Saturday morning, August 17th. Choose one or both sessions. Look, don't let society define you. Define yourself through the truth of God's word. Sign up right now at wretched.org/gentleman. That's wretched.org/gentleman. It's the Gentleman Event, because real men aren't toxic, they're transformative. And dads, bring your sons, because it's time to man up the right way.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Bidenflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, Seasons 1 through 3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, Seasons 1 to 4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, Seasons 1 and 2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched Store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness he requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, how much more is he able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sure, we could talk about politics all day here, but we made a promise. This is Wretched Radio. We could continue talking about Anabaptists for Amin, Methodists for Mao, Southern Baptists for Stalin, and Lutherans for Leopold II, but we are going to hasten on, as the Puritans would likely say in their sermon when it was bogging down. I read a number of Puritan sermons, and that is a phrase that they use, but we must hasten on. In other words, I don't have a segue. We got to get to the next point, because I've been lingering too long on the former section. We must hasten on because, for instance, politics, that's our bag here at Wretched Radio. We could, for instance, play this clip from Pete Buttigieg.
I'm so glad she has made freedom the theme of her campaign because I think in so many ways that's what's at stake. And yes, women's freedom is exhibit A after Donald Trump demolished the right to choose. But of course, men are also more free.
Yep.
In a country where we have a president who stands up for things like access to abortion care, men are more free.
Truth. He actually spoke some truth. Now, he doesn't consider the implications of what he just said. But wow, this, by the way, coming from a man, I expected more from a man who pretended to breastfeed his adopted child by using a prosthetic. So we could continue talking about politics, but we talked about earlier a man who provided us some insight on why so many people in the construction industry are committing suicide when it comes to demographics in the workforce. For some reason, I didn't know why, people in construction are more inclined to attempt to take their own lives. Well, I received an email sent to idea@wretched.org from Isaac the Electrician. He's a journeyman. And he's also an evangelist, by the way. He loves to share the gospel. He loves to try to teach young people more than just how to wire a facility. And he provided some insights. Please note, this is his experience. This is his subjective experience. I know that there are godly people in the trades that are not coarse and crude and that aren't suicidal and showing up drunk. I know that because I know lots of guys that made a very wise decision by going into the trades. Nevertheless, I thought we might learn, getting some insight from one who is in the industry to understand why are these men attempting to kill themselves and what we might be able to do about it. This is Isaac, the electrician. What I've experienced is that these young men are hurting and without hope. Ding, 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 ding. That is what I experience on the campus. Constantly. Young people, they are hurting and without hope. I think they're confused. I think they still have enough common sense about them to go, this is it? This is the way it's supposed to. Why do I feel like I'm actually in Clockwork Orange here? Well, it's because you are right now. They know something is wrong. And because of that, they're willing to talk. And this was incidentally affirmed. Sunday morning at AlphardaBibleChurch.org, a lovely young couple, they explained that they go down to downtown Atlanta every Tuesday and they make their way to Georgia Tech. And they said, it's tough, you know, by the trains, it's hard. It's tough sewing. But when they get to Georgia Tech, the kids, they're willing to have a conversation. Now, that is a big change over the years, because especially Georgia Tech, I've probably been to, I don't know, 10 different campuses in Georgia alone. And when I think of the field that's the rockiest, I think Georgia Tech, they're all academics, science. All they want to do is talk about evolution. And it gets really, really tiresome. It's changed even at Georgia Tech. If your church is close to a campus, please consider having an ongoing presence on a university campus. It is tilled soil. At least they're receptive to hearing. Now, they might be one of the first three soils. Only the Lord can save somebody, but we can go sowing in places where at least people are receptive and they're willing to hear it, and they are willing to hear it on university campuses. Back to Isaac the electrician. These young men carry the pain of various rejections and fear. Many of them are very smart, but didn't do well in school, so they went into the trades. You know what? To that, I would say to them, well done. Well done. You can make a living, in fact, a really good living these days, by not going through school. Sorry, we tried to smash you and conform you into what we thought was the best way for a human being to participate in societal good and human flourishing and production as a laborer. You found a way to take your skills and your gifts and use them. I applaud that for those who went into the trades. They carry harsh words of teachers, parents. They crave affirmation and acceptance. That is so true. They're dying for somebody to genuinely care. Let's be honest. And we're all guilty of this. Even as you're a family, a Christian family, you tried to raise up your kids in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But let's be honest, just because of our economy, we're able to provide so much stuff for our kids that doesn't require our presence. They can watch TV. They can sit in front of a computer. They can be on their phones. You can pay for them to go do stuff. You can pay for their athletics. You can go on vacation and you can pay for somebody to take care of them. You can have your baby get taken care of at daycare so that we can do stuff. And it doesn't require parental involvement. And we have now at least an entire generation, not every kid, of course, but has grown up with absentee parents, even as they lived in the same home. And these kids are dying for it. They want it. We got to be going to the campuses or maybe to construction sites. If your church is like ours and you're not near a university campus, which is my one about Alpharetta Bible Church, it's not close to a campus where we can engage regularly and invite kids to church. Maybe there's a construction site where we could find ourselves a harvest field. Back to Isaac the electrician. Even when the kids do share personal things, being Gen Z, they always seem willing to share quickly, but they distance themselves from what they're saying. So they want to express it, but they just don't know how to work through it. That's how I read this. They don't have a compass. They don't have anybody saying, here's the way, walk in it. I've found they're very open to talking about spiritual things and faith. While they may reject the gospel, they're not angry when I'm sharing it and tend to ask me questions at a later date. Ding, ding, ding. Isaac goes on to say, these guys love food. What if your church saw a construction site and brought everybody food with gospel literature, engaged them in conversations? You showed up, these guys are on construction sites sometimes for a long time. You could bring it every Tuesday and witness to these people, especially the young ones. The old one, as Isaac points out, they're a little bit tougher. They're a little bit more jaded. They're regularly on their second or third marriage. And he goes on to explain perhaps why so many people in the construction industry commit suicide. The hours are varied. It's a dangerous career. It's a difficult, you've got to do everything right. Okay, lives are at stake and your job is at stake. You can't just, oops, I was off in the count. Oops, and the floor falls through. The building starts on fire. All of those pressures, Isaac believes, are what contribute to family strain, which then leads to hopelessness, and they take their lives. Jimmy, you look like you want to jump in on this.
Oh, no, no, I'm just agreeing with what you're saying.
Oh, you're just...
Yeah.
You're giving it to me.
Affirmation.
Giving me the thing, and I didn't. Thank you. Thank you very much. Construction, he writes, is rarely a person's first choice of employment. That's too bad. I encourage, go into the trades. Commonly, people do the trade that they do because, well, they maybe couldn't find another job. Okay, that might be true. That might contribute to people feeling, I'm just slogging through another day. There's heavy alcohol consumption. Drugs can be used. It's not strange for guys to show up for work drunk or high. So all of those pressures, he believes, are adding up to the reason that so many of these men are thinking about suicide. This gives the church an enormous opportunity. Isaac wrote this, I hear what you say about young people going into the trades because that's great work. I agree. But I would add, they need to start talking about the issue differently. The trades don't need workers as much as they need vocational missionaries, people willing to bring the light to the lost and suffer with the hurting. And his encouragement is the church needs to rethink how they support believers in the trades. Their work schedules can be off, and reaching them is sometimes difficult because their schedules aren't in sync. All that to say, we have harvest fields surrounding us where people are working, where we could actually approach them. If it's not a university campus, it could be a construction site. Could it be a playground? Could it be where the kids do their skateboarding, where the church could have a presence? Because unfortunately, it isn't just construction workers these days that are anxious, confused, and depressed. It's pretty much the entire world. In other words, we got ourselves a really big harvest field. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.